Karakei vicha causes. Utsadyante are devastated. Jati Dharma, community projects. Kula Dharma, family traditions. Cha, also. Shashvata, eternal. So Prabhu, who knows what is family in Sanskrit? Yes. So we learned one Sanskrit word from this text. Yes. Very well. Translation. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. Community projects for the four orders of human society. Community projects for the four orders of human society, combined with family welfare activities as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatan Dharma or Varnashram Dharma, are designed to enable the human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatan Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in that society, and consequently people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. Such leaders are called blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. Just today, in the seminar on Srila Prabhupada, we heard a lot on this topic. So some of us were not there. So I'd like to share also some of that nectar. Shureshwar Prabhu, who has been studying Srila Prabhupada's books for 40 years, and he who has been commissioned to investigate on this topic, which is called Sanatan Dharma or Varnashram Dharma or the four orders of society. Four orders of society and four so four social orders, and what is the other called in English? Spiritual orders, so today we were learning that this division in four orders of society is natural also in one way. It's naturally there, but it's exploited. And just as we have heard about the caste system in India, where intellectuals were taking advantage of their position and they were trying to lord it over others. I'm born in this caste. But then already we will learn in the fourth chapter in Bhagavad Gita that that's a big misconception, that I'm born here, so I am. But Krishna was explaining there in Guna, Karma, Vibhagasha, it's not a matter of birth, but of quality and also activity. So if I'm intellectual, but I'm taking a paycheck, I'm working in a bank, I'm already not a Brahmana. I'm already not in that order, strictly speaking. So because we Brahmanas, they're not supposed to accept a salary. Then you're not independent anymore as an intellectual. So teachers traditionally used not to accept a payment. They were living on donations. So the students would bring a bag of rice and some milk, some vegetables. So today, His Grace Sureshwar Prabhu gave an overview of four ways of looking at the Varnashram system. One is this Vedic one, which was really well in place and which brought about welfare in society, a well-being for everybody, because everybody is protected. Those who naturally tend to work with their hands are craftsmen, handicrafts, and artists, and also laborers who just love to serve others, who take well care of them, that they weren't lacking in anything. It was a pleasure to be in that position. You were taken care of. And others, they are into making money. But another of their responsibilities, like bankers, merchants, but on the other hand, in the same category are the agriculturists. Yes, and they have to take care of cows, that they are not slaughtered, but that they are well taken care of. The symbiosis between man and cows. There's a symbiosis in English? Yeah, they are symbiotic. I never heard that. I learned it in the Hare Krishna movement. That a cow naturally produces more milk than a calf can drink. And that's her reward for the humans, to take care of her, because it's a very unprotected animal. There's no defense system. So humans have to protect. This is us, how God arranged for it. And then the two others are the administrators, also military men, police force, and intellectuals and priests. They are in that category. And they are compared to the head of society, whereas the kshatriyas, the administrators, are the arms, and then the vaishyas are the body, and they're producing the crops, food grains, and protecting cows. So there's milk and milk products, dairy products. And then the legs are the shudras. They support all others. They are not into organizing themselves. They are not so independent. They don't have those capacities also, and it's not their nature. So in this way, there is a natural division in four orders, which brings about auspiciousness and peace. And once there is order, there can be also like peace in society. So in the verse of today, destruction of such a system is heavily criticized and called, and the consequences are mentioned. When we destroy this natural order of society, so what will come about? Community projects get destroyed, and family welfare activities are devastated. Yes, Mata. Well, now there is a natural harmony in society by cooperation of the four orders of life. This is a very complementary system. Everybody needs to eat, so that we need those who produce or going to produce the food grains. So community projects, like then there is after work. Traditionally in that Vedic model, so after work, everybody would come to one tree in the village, and under that tree, the priest would speak on the epos, the spiritual epos, Ramayana or Mahabharata, and would enlighten people so that they wouldn't miss the point of life, elevation of consciousness. They wouldn't just work like asses, but they would do their part. Everybody needs to work to maintain the body. But they would also have a spiritual elevation. So that was the Brahman's task. They were able to read, and they memorized all these books, and they were relating it to the laborers. So in this way, this is what is meant in this verse, all kinds of community projects. So the natural harmony of society is destroyed when we destroy this system of Varnasham. Similarly also when people who should be married, this is the other four division you've heard about, like your brother is not married. And yourself, not married. You've the two, he said in class. And but then, like naturally speaking, some are meant for that, nuns and monks. So and they can easily go to love happily. And then others, they after training as a brahmachari, it's called brahmachari. After good training, then they enter into this. They take this responsibility of raising a family. But that's not also for eternal. It's not meant to go on for eternity. There is an expiration date around 50, and then you retire, or you go to travel to holy places of pilgrimage, and you study more God-centered literature, and you are preparing for the end examination, final examinations, and those who are qualified for it, the brahmanas, they can also separate from their wife at the end of life and completely dedicate themselves to God. So this is called Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, and Dharma is like Srila Prabhupada translated this word dharma, which is a famous word in Hinduism. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave a very intricate translation. He said that which is inherent, which is, now you help me with English, which is inherent to, inherent, I was looking for that word, yeah. Sugar is sweet and salt is salty. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. We couldn't call it salt, and chili is pungent. So, and what, and dharma, this is all dharma. The dharma of sugar is sweetness, and the dharma of salt, saltiness. So, and for a human being, there is also a dharma. We haven't quite figured it out. We thought our dharma is to lord it over others, and to, or to, but it's the other way around. Somebody is taking care of us nicely, and if we cooperate with that plan, so we will be happy in this world. So the dharma of the living entity is to serve. But then everybody is serving. Some are serving their dog by walking it and cleaning a stool in the park or on the streets. Now this is a law in Belgium. It's very embarrassing actually, but people don't feel embarrassed. Out of attachment for the dog, they are ready to, they are prepared to do this dirty job. Serve the dog. So Srila Prabhupada joked, if you turn that word God around, yeah, serving God, serving dog. So it's a poetic Srila Prabhupada, all these word plays. I'm not serving God, they're not serving God, they're serving dog. So it's a fact. It's a classical example. It's an extreme example. But we see it many times. Let's not go too far into it. But so serving, it's natural, because everybody is serving naturally. We are serving ourselves, our body. Oh, so when it, every time it gets hungry, we have to feed it, you know. And then we have to, again, uneat. And it's such a whole process. It absorbs so much time. So we are serving always, but if we would come to the point of serving God, yes, that's dharma, that's the highest form of dharma. Yato bhakti rajokshaje, yes. So the highest duty of human life would be to serve God, not serve the dog. And then we would come to the magic formula, when we please God, we will be so happy, we will be so satisfied in all respects. Because he's the source. When you pour water on the root, the whole tree is benefited. So even our family members, the whole human society, the whole world, all living beings are benefited by this single activity of serving God. Because you have poured water on the root of the tree, and all the branches and twigs, they benefit. So the whole creation benefits by service to God. So in Vedic times, people knew this. So there was a high esteem for those who were doing this highest duty of life, who, the priests, the spiritual people, and everybody would do their share. Also, like people, those who would produce food grains and milk, they would bring to the temple. For the Lord, they would bring their, and the ones who made the pots, the potter, he would make extra pots, because they used to have these throw out clay pots, and they would bring every day. They would bring to the temple for the Lord to have his pots. In this way, this is the Vedic way, how it, for years, it has been going on, for centuries. And then the second, Suresh Prabhu was mentioning, the second edition of this division in four orders. That was the materialistic one, yes? How it's being misused by people. Oh, no, he spoke first of the latent. Like it's natural, everywhere you see intellectuals, right? Everywhere you see craftsmen, people who are handy and who like to carry, yeah? People who weld, all these things. And so it's also, it's latent, like it has the potency is there in every society for this to blossom. And the materialistic version would be like we started speaking already a little bit, how some were exploiting it, this system, and lording it over. And then Srila Prabhupada, he offered the divine version of it, Daivi Varnasham, so in which all members, all four classes, will be engaged in cultivated their dormant love of God. Like if we all chant Hare Krishna, everybody can do it. No need to study elaborately the scriptures, no need to even be able to read. Srila Prabhupada even said no need to understand the language of these three words, basically only three words. So it's a universal principle that made it very easy. And then as far as possible we can also understand the philosophy according to our inclination. But it's very practical. We can make a flower garland and serve the Lord in this way and make, wow, fill our days. Not in a dusty factory. That's all artificial. Srila Prabhupada was pointing out, we don't need this. simple living, high thinking, if we just could live off the land. Happy is the man who doesn't go have to go away from home to work. So this is, in the Vedic model, it was working. And even nowadays, you can go to India's villages. How many villages India has? 900,000, I heard. That's a lot. So therefore, we don't have a clue how happy life can be. We've seen that they all have their own. Hanumat Peshaksami, he was explaining that was about Manipur. How do you say that English word again? They have a hand loom, yes? Every house had a hand loom. Hand loom? Yeah, hand loom. For weaving, I think.
Oh,
yeah, we don't know that word even it's our native language, because we don't use it, isn't it? I saw also in Navadvip, they also, did you see Mataji Prabhu? You saw in Navadvip, if you cross the Jalangir where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is, so many of these, but maybe it's already a little bit electric, I don't know. Anyway, they had this, not electric, yeah? Wave guitar, no? It's a hand loom. Yeah, so people are making gamshas, this cloth, you know, which we waste for taking a shower. You know? So beautiful, you know? Beautiful and colorful. And he was explaining how colorful they made it, and they used to dress themselves in this, you know, it's so cultural. And they all made it, it was all made. Oh, my aunt made this. So enthusiastically he was presenting. He had seen it with his own eyes. So that's life. And the next text says, O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by this cyclic succession. Sanskrit? Utsanakula dharmanam manushanam janardana naraki niyatam vasho bhavati tyanushu shruma. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by this cyclic succession that those whose family traditions are destroyed dwell always in hell. And the purport is, Arjuna bases his argument not on his own personal experience, but on what he has heard from the authorities. That is the way of receiving real knowledge. One cannot reach the real point of factual knowledge without being helped by the right person who is already established in that knowledge. There is a system in the Varnasham institution by which, before death, one has to undergo the process of atonement for his sinful activities. One who is always engaged in sinful activities must utilize the process of atonement called Prayashchitta. Without doing so, one surely will be transferred to hellish planets to undergo miserable lives as the result of sinful activities. So, here are two things. That nowadays this is a word which is very dangerous. The S word is not to be pronounced in public. Kedamakandana Swami was sometimes speaking about this, you know. If you would say sin, then or duty, but sin also, if you would use that word, so. Yes, but if you would say like a chronic pathological behavioral pattern, then the people would accept it. But it's too much loaded.
Medical.
Yeah. And because this word, I mean, it's loaded. People have all kinds of associations in our countries because they were hammered over the head with their father with all kinds of threats and people have a bad conscience also, and then they don't like to hear this word. But we are not the bird who puts his hand in the sand when there is danger. Right? The big bird, ostrich. Huh? So we are bold people. We are not afraid of facing reality. So we like to be informed. Intelligent people are not afraid of knowledge. This is information. It's just not by chance that you end up somewhere after your life. All this knowledge is very elaborately explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan. Whatever your consciousness is at the time of death will carry you to your next destination. So similarly, we are in the middle planetary systems, is explained. So there's higher destination and lower destination. Although it's pretty bad here, of course. Like Srila Prabhupada called a factory a synonym of hell. Yeah. But then... So they speak about paryashchita, that means atonement, like you do something bad, then you do another activity to make up for it. We have some experience with that also in our Catholic tradition, and they would pay it off or something, buy it off. Yeah. But then Srila Prabhupada was explaining the Nectar of Instruction in purports that what's the use of such atonement activities. It's just like an elephant's bathing. They take a very nice bath in a pond, but as soon as they come on the shore, they throw sand all over their body. So if we confess our sins or even do some atonement for it, some penance, but then again we do the same sinful activities, so what's the progress? And we are cycling in a circle, a vicious circle. So devotional service, its nature is that it purifies the heart and it takes away the root for sinful desires, and the desire for sinning again is uprooted by this kind of devotional activities. The difference between atonement and devotional service is, devotional service is the best atonement because it's pleasing to the Lord, but it's also uprooting the desire to commit sinful activities. The heart is purified by devotional service. So these activities, they are of another nature. So it said that our only choice, in life is that we can choose for to be for God or against God. So and when we are for God, so then we will engage after we've been informed about these activities, making a flower garland for and offer it to the Lord. Then we will engage in these activities, which will not bring about undesired consequences. Whereas all the other activities, both good and bad, entangle us further in this temporary world. When I'm doing pious activities, I will have to come back to, to cash in the good results, and I will be promoted to a higher planet, for instance. And when I do bad activities, obviously, I will have to come to pay the bills. So we have this information that by devotional service, so we can make a difference for our future. So the man is the architecture of his own future. That's so true. But how? That information is available. And Srila Prabhupada, we are so grateful. He has translated it from and rendered it in such a way as that it changes it brings about a revolution in the heart of impious people. So many people have drastically changed their life. As you were saying, the Monseigneur didn't expected it would be a fad, Shamananda's joining Hare Krishna. So there was one Monseigneur who thought this is a phase in his life. Now 25 years afterwards. And I wanted to point out here that this is the way of receiving knowledge. If we are bound up hand and feet, so what can we do to get free? We need somebody who is free, who is not bound up, to free us. So, and the Srila Prabhupada oftentimes gives the example, even you have the manuals they used at university for medicine, even you study these books very meticulously, you're not going to become a doctor unless you take the training. So here also you need a certification by in this case a spiritual teacher to become qualified, to become advanced in spiritual knowledge, to become recognized also. So Lord himself has prescribed this for the conditioned soul to get rid of his illusion, to approach somebody who has seen the truth, to approach him submissively. Otherwise, what can you learn, you know, if you go, okay, tell me. Yes, Mark? Yes? But I already have my concepts ready. That's obvious. But it's also it's not very popular to be submissive. Challenge authority, in America especially. So, and the other thing is, in the mood of service, be ready to be grateful and render some service. And then it all depends on the teacher being pleased, and then the knowledge descends on you. When we can please a spiritual master, very quickly this knowledge will be understood. So, yeah, submissively approaching and then asking the right questions. Hey, this is not about blind following. Independently thoughtful. We must be independently thoughtful. So doubts are healthy if they don't linger. So they have to be clear doubts, because for the doubting soul, no happiness, nor in this life, nor in the next. But it's a sign of intelligence. So initial doubt is very good. Skepticism is good. Because you know, we cannot be blind followers. This will not bring about an auspicious result. So therefore, philosophy or religion without philosophical basis is sentiment and leads to fanaticism. So we are blessed. We have such a thorough philosophical basis of Krishna consciousness. So the books are there now in English available, so ready to be studied. So let's take the time. It's wonderful we took time, but on a daily basis, because it's a life study. I think I said enough. Yes, Mataji. Oh, yeah, there was fair play in debate. When you defeat me, Mataji, I become your disciple. So that is honesty, truthfulness, not ego trip, you know. So nowadays there is not dishonesty. So truthfulness and some culture. So where do we find such a wonderful culture? This reminds of the humility of Rupa and Sanatana, when the Digvijaya came into their ashram and he was going to defeat them, you know, the famous college. And oh no, we are not a party for you. Oh, then you have to sign that I defeated you. Sure. Where shall I sign? And they sign. And then on the way out, there was a disciple who was washing up and copying manuscripts. And so you were defeated. And no, I defeated them. Here is the paper they signed. Oh, and then little Jiva. He gloriously defeated, although he was just a servant, he gloriously defeated this Digvijaya. Digvijaya means who conquers in all directions. Vijaya, the conqueror. Oh, I have to refresh my memory on this. Because there is more than one instance, if I'm not wrong. At Keshava Kashmir, he went to Lord Chaitanya, so it was not the one, no. So anyway, afterwards Jiva, the servant, he was heavily, severely chastised. And he was sent out of Vrindavan. Was it at that instance that he was sent out of Vrindavan, Mother Gopal, remember? Because you're not worthy of staying in the holy dham, in the holy place here. You're just so puffed up. Go out. For 1 year, he had to live in a crocodile hole in Mathura. Before Sanatana Goswami told Rupa, "Hey Rupa, I've heard you're not following the instructions of Lord Chaitanya." "I'm not? What? Tell me." No, you tell me. What are the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So, brilliant as he is, he starts to recite from memory all the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah? And he's going on and on, yes, Sanatana says, yes. And when it comes to, we've heard Nama Rupa, we've heard Nama Ruchi, that's one of, there's three important principles. We have need taste for the holy name, and we have to cultivate it. Another one is Vaishnava Seva. Then he mentioned Jiva Doya. Jiva Doya! And Rupa realized, or Sanatana, he explained a little bit. Jiva Doya, it means compassion for the jivas, the souls. So their nephew, who was living in their place, was called Jiva, and he had been sent out a year ago, and he was living in very austere conditions on his own, and no food practically, in a crocodile hole. So, Jiva Doya, you've been merciful maybe to all the jivas, but for one, Jiva, our nephew. And then, and then Rupa went to Jiva and called him back, you know. But this was such an interesting story where he was severely chastised for showing off with his knowledge. But actually, he was perfect because he was defending the honor of his gurus, Rupa and Sanatana. So there is no fault from any side there. But it's so instructive, we can learn. There's so many aspects in these lilas about from the great souls. So it's very beautiful. I'm sorry, I cannot narrate it very juicily. So are there any other comments on what we've discussed here? Varnasham Dharma, Sanatana Dharma. So it's natural. Sanatana means eternal. This is the eternal situation. As we were saying, it's sometimes present in a latent form, like that's what Suresh Prabhu was explaining. Like in all societies, there's intellectual, but it's not always manifest. But it has the potency of being revived, and then society can be very organized. Ah, yeah. Yes, okay, something which is referred to here is the war is at hand, and so many heads of family, fathers, they will be killed. So Arjuna has a natural concern, like, that means so many widows will be there. And according to the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedas, So men, especially senior men in society, have a natural function of giving the spiritual guidance. They could not fulfill that role if after a mass battle, if they all end up dead. So nobody is going to be able to take care of that, and to ensure what also family. Dharma means that we have to, in Hinduism and according to the Vedic teachings, the forefathers have to be offered offerings to free them from the reactions of their sinful activities. Pindas, pinda, it's called pinda. So if you know any Hindus, you will see when a family member has died, they have so many rites. And also after a year or so, again, on a yearly basis, they offer to a picture of their deceased ancestors some Mahaprasad, which has been offered to Vishnu, to free them from, because it's purifying. Whatever you eat here is very purifying, because it's all been offered. Other foods, even if it's vegetarian, is karmically loaded, and there is a reaction. You chop off cauliflower, this is great violence, so you get a reaction for that. But if you offer it, then it's karma free. If you offer if you offer the vegetarian dishes which Krishna accepts, if you offer them with love, like, Krishna, you produce this, thank you for using this, I prepare this for your pleasure, please taste it, and I offer you this with love. So Krishna eats the love, and we get the but sometimes when we are really devotional, he eats everything. There are also nice stories about that. One child was offering in the absence of the father. The child had been commissioned to make the offering. So I'm going away, I have a business trip, you please do the offering to Gopal, they have the family deity, and so simple hearts that children have. We should become like children. So he was ringing the bell, and as he had his father seen doing it, and then he was in anxiety that, you eat, please accept this. He had put the food there, yes, and he had expected the deity to physically eat, and it was not happening yet. So he was in anxiety, my father is going to chastise me, he will be very angry with me, so eat, and he started crying, and guess what, this is the way to melt the heart of the Lord. So the deity came down and he ate it all. So when the father came back from the business trip, where's the Mahaprasad? You heard about Maha, eh? It's a very popular word in this temple. So, Gopal ate it. And then, what? Don't tell me any stories. But then, anyway, he gave him the benefit of the doubt. But then he told his wife to cook again, and he told his son, yeah, you again offer. And then he was hiding behind the curtain, and he said, my God. And he was not as devotional as the son, and he came out. There's several variants, but this story I heard in Alalarnath, you've been there. There is also one such story. So this is not Raghunandan Das Thakur. There is another Brahman son, and the father so angry with the deity, you know, what is this? You're a deity. You're not supposed to eat. Big offense. But the son, it was very glorious. Yeah. More advanced than the father, way more advanced. Sometimes this happens. Yeah. So Krishna is interested in our love and in sincerity. So if we can chant the holy name with this sincerity, so surely the Lord will be very pleased. And that's what's going to happen now. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.